Welcome to the Hashtag MoLedge Podcast broadcast from the state capitol in Jefferson City, sponsored by the St. Louis Regional Chamber of Commerce, Missouri Farm Bureau, and the Sheet Metal Workers Local 36. Now from the state capitol, the Hashtag MoLedge Podcast.
I want to welcome everybody. We'd like to jump right into the conversation here on the Hashtag MoLedge Podcast. I want to thank everybody at Camo X for putting it together. Obviously, we want to tell them how much we appreciate the Missouri Farm Bureau and the St. Louis Regional Chamber of Commerce for sponsoring it. I'm very happy to be joined by Representative Tracy McCreary.
Glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
And the head of the Missouri Republican Party, John Hancock. Sir, welcome.
Good morning. Good to be with you.
I called John to ask him, and if you ever call John Hancock, his voicemail message is his radio voice, just perfectly pitched radio, booming baritone. So I'm sure there'll be no one happier at 7 o'clock Tuesday night than you when the primaries are over.
I'll be very happy, and I hope they are over. You know, I think these races are going to be pretty close, so you never know how late the counting is going to go on. But, yeah, I hope it does end next Tuesday night, and look forward to fighting the Democrats.
Tracy McCreary, this has to be kind of the fun time. I mean, you're used to dealing with, like, hordes of Republicans in Jeff City. Now they're fighting each other for the summer. It's got to be a refreshing change.
It's enjoyable to watch them fight with each other, that's for sure. So,
can you imagine the amount of money spent on just this governor's primary alone?
Just the primary. You know, it makes me wish I owned a media company of some sort, just because the money just would come in so easily. But, yeah, it's as someone who's done a lot of work in nonprofits over the years, I'd love to have a fraction of that money to spend on kids in need.
Well, Representative, I'll just put to you that it's very important for can't just get their message out.
Well, that's a good point,
It's a key part of our democracy. But first of all, we're recording this from downtown Clayton this time, not the state capitol. It's Friday morning after Hillary Clinton's nominating speech. I watched it, and she didn't do terrible, which I thought she might be awful. John Hancock, she made it through.
Oh, yeah, I didn't think it was terrible at all. I think that it's a culmination of what happened in her campaign, where the Bernie Sanders supporters kept pushing her further and further and further to the left. And while some of the other speakers at the convention were trying to make overt appeals to Republican voters, I really felt like Hillary Clinton's speech, she was speaking more into that building than she was speaking to everybody on the outside. And so I expect she'll get some bump out of that convention. Don't know how long it will last, but this is going to be a fascinating race.
Tracy McCreary, was interesting. Most of Donald Trump's convention seemed to be him trying to get Republicans to support him. Most of her convention was trying to get Democrats to support her.
Yeah, that's a good point. And, you know, the Bernie Sanders supporters, I think, were reluctant and have, you know, slowly come her way as the weeks progress. But, you know, I do think that she gave the Republicans some tools last night to possibly use against her in the general. She said some things that I think, you know, I'm a realist, you know, like free college for everybody sounds good, but how do you pay for it? You know, that kind of thing. So I think she'll have to pivot back to some more, you know, moderate messages as we head towards November.
It's always the mark of a professional politician. You know, when you're an activist, all the people with all the passion, energy, and wild ideas are fun and exciting. But when you actually have to be in elected office and you realize that they have there's very little common sense tied to dreams, and then you have to deal with them. I thought it was interesting. Hillary Clinton's probably thought protesters were a wonderful thing right up until they were protesting her.
Mm-hmm, exactly. Well, and I was watching in a big venue last night, but evidently there were people sort of heckling from the crowds. Yeah. I couldn't really pick up on that, but that's disappointing. I hate to see disrespect towards anybody.
Yeah, well, it is kind of weird. I mean, it's a little funny to watch because a lot of times the protesters are known as, you know, liberals. They're protesting whatever, to see it turned on them. But, I mean, when a person's given the speech of their life, you'd like to think they'd let her give the speech.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you would. There was a lot of passion behind Bernie Sanders, and I think it caught a lot of people by surprise. Certainly Donald Trump took a lot of people by surprise on the Republican side. And, you know, what you have is a situation now where we have so weakened the institutions that used to inform our political process, these political parties have really become weakened through all of this. And so on the Republican side, we're probably 6 years ahead of the Democrats. You know, a total outsider like a Donald Trump just comes in and just runs the table. Bernie Sanders, but for the superdelegates, which that's kind of the last vestige of the establishment that's out there, we don't have them. But for those superdelegates, he could have been the Democratic nominee.
Judge Mayor, can you defend having superdelegates? It just looks corrupt and elitist.
It's old-fashioned. It's a thing of the past.
You're Democrats.
We've got to modernize. People should be able to vote their opinion. And, you know, and things, when some of these delegates were selected, things have changed since then. So they should have been allowed to be more flexible. I do want to say that the two-party system is very, very frustrating. I ran and won as an independent, as you know, back in 2011. Mm-hmm. And that's the first time I ever realized how much money and power is truly vested in that two-party system. They do not like it when anybody does anything that rocks the boat. So, and I think that's what we saw with the Bernie Sanders candidates, even with the Donald Trump. You know, they were rocking the boat and upsetting the establishment, and it's uncomfortable for those in power.
You know, I'm going to take a little bit of a contrarian view, because the parties, I've watched the parties weaken over the last 20 years. The parties are not big, strong, dictatorial entities. That parties have really no influence whatsoever over picking candidates. Very little.
Should they?
Yes. Because, you know, if you look at how our system of government was set up, a whole lot of things grew up around that to bring some sanity to the system. You look at Congress, they can't get anything done. There is no carrots and there's no sticks held by the leaders in Congress. So one senator, if they want to, can go shut down the government, even if the rest of their caucus isn't supportive of that. And there used to be norms in congressional bodies that I contend made that system work. And we've reformed ourselves into a system that no longer produces policy outcomes, and it now is often not producing the very best candidates. And I think political parties played a role in helping to select the strongest candidates and present them to the voters. But I know that's not a popular view, Scott.
No, I think you should just have an election, and why do you need a delegate? Just whoever wins, wins. The Ricky Bobby system. If you ain't first, you're last. Just let the people pick who they want.
And, well, that's pretty much what we've got now.
And do you believe really that Ted Cruz would be doing as well as Donald Trump in this election?
I don't know. You know,
if you had to put it, Tracy McCreery,
he'd be a lot better than
Tracy McCreery. If you were putting your chips on the table, you would give Ted Cruz a much less lower chance of beating Hillary Clinton. Who votes for Ted Cruz that didn't vote for Mitt Romney?
Well, he's a lot more, I think he's more palatable than Romney was. Romney, he had that elitist attitude
about
him.
He's a lot creepier than Mitt Romney.
Well, he looks a little bit like somebody from the Adams family, but you know, I think Ted Cruz is more palatable, and I think we're interviewing, as Americans, we're interviewing people to be the CEO of our country, basically. And, you know, although Trump has business experience, Senator Cruz has government experience, and to me that counts a lot. And I think a lot of my Republican friends who are thinking of voting for Hillary would have been fine with Ted Cruz, and they're not with Trump.
I think the problem for the Democrats might be that if they had a traditional, maybe a Marco Rubio changes that, but if you have a traditional candidate, milquetoast Republican, it plays out like it did, not quite away, but it plays out like 12, and she wins. This time, she probably wins, but there also could be an uprising. And I see all these coordinators for different groups. As a heterosexual, rural, Christian male, I wonder if Hillary Clinton doesn't.
I didn't know there were any of those left.
Well, there's maybe one here in Clay, maybe two Johns from St. Louis, but maybe she needs an outreach to me, because I bet you there'll be very few of us actually vote for her.
Well, that's what her VP pick was for.
Yeah, no, that's probably not going to get her done.
The thing is, Hillary Clinton, regardless of whatever you think of her, and I don't think much of her, but she is, and so is Trump for that matter, but she is one of the most unpopular, and I don't think she's a very good candidate. I just don't think she appeals well. The public has a dim view of her. She was defeated by a mid-first term U.S. senator in 2008 who had been a state senator from Illinois 3 years before. She's not a good candidate, and the fact that this race is where it is right now, I think, underscores that fact. And I don't know about Ted Cruz, but I think a young generational, inspirational, aspirational candidate like a Marco Rubio matched up against Hillary Clinton right now would have about a 10-point lead nationally. I really believe that.
I agree with you, but I think a Ted Cruz-type candidate, Marco Rubio is a unique candidate, possibly. A Ted Cruz candidate probably doesn't fare. I don't know what state he wins that Romney didn't. It's always interesting to see Mitt Romney set aside in CARP. Just to wrap it up, Donald Trump might be too reckless to be president of the United States.
Yes.
But I think there's also an argument that Hillary Clinton would be for TPP. Hillary Clinton wants to be president, and how she gets there, what she needs to believe in, I think is totally negotiable. Do you believe, Tracy, there's anything she would not say if she thought that would help her become president?
Oh, I'm not going to
really?
Say. Really?
Yeah. Do you believe she has some belief somewhere that she wouldn't change?
I do. And part of that I was reminded of when I heard her speech and looked at the video leading up to her speech last night. She has spent decade after decade after decade fighting for the things she believes in. And I was reminded of that last night. So I understand what her core, what she truly cares about down to her core.
John Hancock, is there any really, she negotiated the TPP until the polling told her not to be for it. Is there anything that you believe that she would change? If it was told to her, you need to change this position to become president, is there anything she wouldn't change?
Oh, I think she's perfectly willing to change anything, day in and day out. Now, I'll say, Donald Trump was not in my top 16 choices for president, okay? But I think he's gonna win this thing,
I don't know that it's good for the country.
A month ago, I wouldn't have said that, but as I'm looking at this thing roll on and play out, I think he's got a genuine chance to win this election, and it'll be interesting.
Tracy, the last thing I'll put to you is Hillary Clinton is a Cubs fan. She's an admitted Cubs fan. That's documented.
That might be a deal killer here, but I think she's going to win overall. I do, unfortunately, think Trump will win the state of Missouri.
Yeah.
I think last night the power that women felt, even women that aren't going to vote for her, that was an amazing thing. I predict that on Tuesday, women candidates are going to feel a bump and a rise from her, including Republican women.
Wow.
Yep.
Speaking of coming back to the state, this is probably the most interesting primary that I've ever in my lifetime. I own papers in other states, and I have people call me with a fascination thing. When you have four candidates running in a primary, that the minimum buy-in for Peter Kinder's has 2.5 million, and he's at the back of the pack. Amazing primary. Give me, Tracy, your prediction on who do you think will win, and then who would you rather not see win?
Well, I think at this point Greitens is going to win, and I do not want him to win. So I'd like to see Catherine Hanaway win. I think she gives the Missouri Republican Party the best chance against Chris Koster this fall.
A lot of contrast there between the two of them.
Yeah.
John Hancock, we had on This Week in Missouri Politics Friday morning, we had Bruner, Hanaway, and Kinder in the studio for the final show, the last word before the primary. Eric Greitens with the Democrat Party headquarters. Do you think he wins?
I don't know. I put all my coins in the meter out there, so I can't flip them to find out, make a prediction. I think this is a very close race for governor. I think all of them.
Let me just rapid fire at you.
All right.
Let's start with all four candidates. What's the best contrast against Chris Koster? What's Greitens' best contrast against Koster?
Well, Greitens and Bruner have the outsider motif going in, and that seems to be a pretty popular thing right now. I think Catherine Hanaway brings unique prosecutorial experience that would match up nicely against Chris Koster. And I think Peter Kinder is a guy that has really been a leader, a true conservative leader, sometimes a voice of one, standing up for in-state government. So I think each of the four bring a unique set of attributes. And once we have a nominee, then we'll deploy those attributes and try and win this governor's race. We've only had the governor's office for four of the last 24 years, and the state suffered because of it.
Interesting cycle. Certainly will be an interesting fall. As the head of the Republican Party, the Wednesday morning, if Eric Greitens is your nominee, are you concerned that conservatives for Koster live and starts picking up significant support?
Nope, not a bit. I think.
Are you nervous about going into a general election where all the ag groups are with the Democrat, the NRA is potentially with the Democrat, and a lot of rural, go to Jeff County. I think Chris Koster may be the one Democrat that wins Jeff County.
Mm-hmm. Well, Chris Koster has, he's been a Republican, he's run as a Republican, and he's going to try and make himself look less offensive than he actually is. His record is not one to be proud of. I think Koster made a fundamentally horrific decision not to advertise in the month of July. If you go back and look at the last time the governor's office was open in 2008, we had a two-way primary, Kenny Hulsoff and Sarah Steelman. And Jay Nixon, when they were beating the tar out of each other, and Jay Nixon, during the month of July, bought a ton of advertising. You remember he was driving his pickup truck through DeSoto, talking about his rural background.
That's a good point.
And what he did in that month of July while we were taking clubs to each other is he built up, and he had a 16-year, he'd been the attorney general since the Lincoln administration. So, he had a high name ID. But he built up a sizable lead, and when that primary was over, Jay Nixon had a 19-point lead over Kenny Hulsoff. And by not getting involved in this thing and hoarding his money, the guy's sitting on $10 million. If he'd have spent $2 million in July building a profile and a positive and putting some armor on, he would be in a much stronger position. I think that was a massive mistake. And if Donald Trump and Roy Blunt win this state decisively, and I think they will, we're going to win that governor's seat.
Tracy McGrady, see, this is why he's the head of the Republican Party right now. It's that kind of stuff.
I'm kicking myself.
So give me a prediction, Tracy, on the presidential race. I assume you feel Donald Trump wins the state. What does he win it by?
Oh, he'll win it by probably 7 points. But I think we'll see, as you go down the ticket, we're going to see Democrats win and Republicans win. I don't think that Trump at the top of the ticket and maybe even winning in Missouri necessarily helps all the Republicans. I think it actually hurts.
You think he needs to get, it seems to me, a lot of folks I know, Democrats and Republicans, feel like for Trump to really be a problem for Koster, he's got to get up around 10 points.
Right.
And I don't know that, you know, lots of people I know, my wife will not vote for Donald Trump.
Yeah.
And it's not, she's just not going to do it. And I don't know that she votes for Hillary Clinton either. Maybe she doesn't vote, but she'd be somebody that Trump might have counted on going in, or a Republican, whatever, that he can't.
He'll win by 5.
Really? Mm-hmm. And that probably, I bet you the Democrats would take that all day, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Is there not, though, I always thought Donald Trump's chances to actually become president were, it's a little bit, you know, the country's probably been on a downhill slide since the 60s overall. You know, trend lines go up and down. But if you want to continue to manage a decline of America, Hillary Clinton could very competently manage that decline. If you wanted to take a chance on something else, very low floor, maybe a high ceiling, you go Trump. Is there not a guy turning a wrench somewhere in Fenton today, or Sedalia, or a guy swinging a hammer in Clay County that doesn't vote, he goes and eats lunch on his break, that maybe Donald Trump inspires him to go vote?
And there's no question
about
it. That's
a wave, and that's how he becomes president.
You know, look, this is, I don't know if it's going to be long term or not, but certainly there's a reformation of the electorate going on. And what we're seeing with Donald Trump is that he is subtracting some conservatives and Republicans from his vote block, but he is adding in a lot of these working class, a lot of labor union households voting for him in this election. Not the leadership, but the actual rank and file union members. And if his addition is more than his subtraction. And particularly, you look at those states like Pennsylvania and Michigan and Ohio through there, he's got a real shot at this thing.
A lot of folks I respect a great deal are in the labor movement, at the head of the labor movement. I do believe there is a absolute case of at the head table at a labor banquet, they're all voting for Hillary Clinton. However, out at table 16 is full of labor members, and they're all voting for Trump.
Well, if the vote was today, but we're going to convince people. I mean, why would you vote for somebody that reminds you of the company, the boss of the company you work for? It's ridiculous. The average working person is not going to vote for some, you know, guy that thinks he can fix the world by himself. That's just not how things work.
You know Todd Richardson in the House.
Yep.
I think has a pretty good amount of respect on both sides of the aisle.
Yes.
In his district, there's a company called Nordyne. There was before NAFTA.
Uh-huh.
After NAFTA, that company's in Mexico. There's been no Mexican factory move to Poplar Bluff and employ people. At some point, you know, I think Hillary Clinton, that was her. She loves to take credit for anything Bill Clinton did. If you're a labor person, wouldn't you rather have a job than make your, you know, shop steward happy?
I don't know. You know, if you want to truly go with that line of make America great again, you know, do we want to always be a manufacturing country, or do we, you know, take this opportunity to kind of spread our wings?
I think people that work in manufacturing would like to continue to be.
It's an important part of the economy, but there's also, we need some fresh new ideas, and we can't just keep going back.
Do you believe Chris Koster's done a good enough job in places like Jefferson County, St. Charles County, Clay County, that those labor households that will vote for Trump, I think it's, today, they certainly would. We'll split tickets and vote for Koster as well.
I truly believe that. Koster is very, very conservative Democrat. I mean, there are times I struggle with how conservative he is. He's pro-gun. He said the other day that he would have signed that awful gun bill that Governor Nixon vetoed. So right there, I mean, you get tens of thousands of labor union members just because Koster's, you know, a gun nut.
Is it, I mean, does the Republican Party have a plan to try to court over some of those labor households that are going to vote for Trump to get them to vote for more Republicans?
Well, look, you know, Chris Koster, his Achilles heel in this election is his role as the state's chief law enforcement official. And I think we're going to make a very compelling case that if you want to make Missouri safe, that Chris Koster is not your choice for governor. And look, our economy is stagnant and has been for years, and we've done the same thing over and over and over and over again with these Democratic governors. And I do think the folks that want to see our economy grow and the state of Missouri take off are going to move in a different direction for governor. They're going to vote for our Republican nominee.
You know, there's three branches of government. The Republicans have had supermajorities in both chambers, and they can't manage to get anything done except for talk about issues that rile people up during election years.
These governors are appointing these
Governor
judges.
Governor Nixon has not vetoed or stopped anything. The Republicans have no plans for growing the economy. They just want to talk about abortion and guns and gays.
And right to work and reforming tax credits. And
right to work does not help working families.
Aren't you shocked? I am shocked that there's been a Republican majority for 15 years, almost 10 years. They've spent 40 hours this session on something that I guess is meant to limit gay weddings, something or other. Never affected a person in the history of statehood. No. And they've never cut taxes one damn cent on Missourians. Missourians have the same heavy burden, heavy yoke of government restricting their lives. But yet, some theoretical thing that never happened got 40 hours on the Senate floor.
Well, it's because it's an election year. So, you know, that's what happens.
At some point, did the conservatives show up and start cutting taxes?
I think they've already passed a tax cut.
It's some gimmick, silly thing.
Yes,
like if the Cardinals are over 500 in June, they maybe just cut to. Here's the cool part that Missourians are probably like even more. Then you fire government workers. There's less government people harassing you.
Well, I think you've got to have the leadership in the governor's office to really make the system work. And one of the things that's happened in Missouri, and it's happened in a lot of other states, is that when you have term limits in place, a lot of people like that reform. But what it has done, to be sure, and there's a lot of people who criticize it because it empowers bureaucrats and lobbyists, and that's true to a certain extent. But what it really does is it weakens the legislative branch of government vis-a-vis the other two branches. And I think we've seen a real evidence of that in Missouri when you've got the constantly rotating leadership. It begins to destabilize that institution of the legislative branch, and it makes governing from the legislative branch, you've seen it in Washington, it is nearly impossible. In fact, I think it is impossible to govern exclusively from the legislative branch.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. It seems to me that when I go to Lincoln Day, everybody talks about cutting taxes. When you come to the legislature, doesn't happen. I've seen four candidates now talk about being the father of the tax cut or the leader. They led a tax cut effort. No one's got their taxes cut. Probably the real leader was John Deal, to be perfectly honest about it. But I think that may be something that – I think there's people that look at things differently. I think you have a different generation of Republicans. They're like, I don't care who's gay. Cut my taxes. Then I'll let the preacher worry about who's gay and who's straight. On the wrap-up, Holly and Schaefer, can both of them win the general?
Yes.
There's been a lot of money, ruthlessly attacking each other.
Yeah, they have. And that's it. You know, two-way primaries tend to be much nastier mm-hmm. than multi-candidate primaries because it becomes very personal. And that one's been, that one's been hard to watch for a party chairman. Mm-hmm. But I think they're both really fine candidates. I think they're both very effective speakers, and they're very competent, capable leaders, and I think they're going to win that attorney general race.
Randles, Parson, they come in. Whoever wins is obviously going to be the underdog. Can there be enough Republican vote to sweep them in?
Oh, yeah. I mean, Russ Carnahan is on the other side. I mean, he's got a great name, and it begins and ends with the name. And I know Russ Carnahan does not scare me as a particularly up-and-coming Democrat leader.
You did something I think people maybe didn't even understand the importance of at the time, but you talked about you had a thing at State Lincoln Days where all the candidates got together and committed to be support the winners. Are you worried with some of these primaries being as nasty as they've gotten that they won't hold their word to you?
Every single one of them this week confirmed that they'd be there. So
that's why he's head of the party. Yeah. Tracy McCurry, interesting primaries on the Democrat side. One that's not talked about, but I think people may talk about 10 years from now, is Pat Contreras.
Yeah.
He's kind of came on the scene. He really works hard.
He's
respect
amazing.
That.
He's absolutely amazing. One of the things I really like about the Democratic platform or the Democratic ticket for August 2nd is the diversity that it reflects. And Pat's folks came here from Mexico, so Pat's just a second-generation American, and I really admire him.
You support him in the race?
I have endorsed Judy Baker, but the Democrats can't go wrong with either of the candidates.
I mean, they're probably the clear underdog, whoever wins that primary. But whether Gutierrez wins it or not, my assumption is folks in Jackson County are smart enough to have him run for something else if he doesn't win this.
I wish he maybe had started out with something else, even, you know, state rep, state senate, and worked his way up. I'm supporting Judy because I've known her and worked with her politically for 20 years.
My prediction is at some point, Pat Contreras learns how bumpy I-70 is west of Columbia, coming to Jeff City. The AG primary, it's not as nasty or well-funded, but it is a little personal.
It's definitely gotten personal. You can't, again, the Democrats for November can't go wrong with either candidate.
Hensley a better general election candidate. Zimmerman probably wins a primary.
I think Hensley is going to get a bump from that, like,
pro-woman
lift
I
that we
see
saw
that.
Last night. So I have a feeling that having the election, you know, just a few days after Hillary's speech on Thursday night is a good thing for Teresa Henley's race.
All right. I appreciate it. We always want to thank the St. Louis Regional Chamber of Commerce and the Missouri Farm Bureau and the folks at Camwex for putting this together. Last thing, predictions. Give me your prediction on who comes out of that Republican AG primary.
Republican AG primary. I think Schaefer.
Schaefer wins because he's been a prosecutor?
Yeah, and, you know, he's had a lot of tools at his disposal to do things that his primary voters like, including, you know, trying to work to defund Planned Parenthood.
Cardinals make the playoffs?
So, of course they do.
If the Cardinals make the playoffs and Hillary Clinton, would you drop your support of her if we have a playoff series against them this year?
Oh, I refuse to answer a heated question.
I will drop my
like
support
that.
Of her if we play the Cubs in the playoffs. Johnny, give me a prediction on the Democrat side. Who wins that AG race?
Zimmerman.
Are you more worried about Hensley in the general election, though?
No.
Really?
No.
Female prosecutor, not at all.
Oh, she ran against Vicki Hartzler years ago, and
she didn't have the Central West in her district.
Well, yeah, but what I'm telling you is her record does not frighten me.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Cardinals make the playoffs?
No.
Do we get an arm this weekend? Bullpen arm?
No.
No. Team not good enough?
I just don't know. You got too many injuries out there right now. You do have some surplus you could deal with, particularly, you know, in the outfield.
We're going to see Reyes this year?
Yes.
Yeah, I think he's got the chance to come in and excite the team, throw 101.
And you know, something like that. Like, remember Michael Wacha had that same exact role in 2013. We went to the World Series. Something like that could cause me to change my prediction. I hope we make the playoffs, but it's rough out there.
Do you have any feeling this is a little bit like 2006? Is there any feeling that just... You couldn't have predicted we'd have made the playoffs.
Well, the back end of the bullpen is not where it needs to be right now.
In 06.
Well, it was. You had Flores and Kenny, remember? But
Esteban Yan.
Yeah, right.
Poor guy, sweat.
Esteban Yan.
Great. So Carl's are making the playoffs. Tracy McCreary is going to join me in dropping her support for Hillary Clinton, the Cubs fan, if they do. Interesting primary. Remember, Tuesday's the day to vote. Want to thank everybody once again at KMOX. Want to thank the folks at the Missouri Farm Bureau and the St. Louis Regional Chamber of Commerce. We'll see you next time on the Hashtag Mullidge Podcast.